sitting at my table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. And protection.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
This
is my mistake, and let me make it good. I raise the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression. Expression. Expression.
Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Progress.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on Sastel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. I'm Jim Hutchings, and with me is guest host Daylene Sliz and our special guest, Jesse Ireland, who is co-chair of Regina's Queen City Pride. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome, Jesse. So, as we know, June is Saskatchewan Pride Month. The rainbow flag was raised on Parliament Hill Wednesday for the first time in Canadian history. The Beardies and Okemosis, did I say that right?
You got it.
Willow Cree First Nation will be holding its first ever Pride Festival on June 9th. Moose Jaw is holding its first ever Pride Parade tomorrow, mm-hmm. June the 4th. 9 of the bathrooms at the new Mosaic Stadium will be single occupancy, gender neutral washrooms. They'll also be open to families and people with disabilities, which is good. These are history making events. There is still microaggression and overt discrimination, of course, but based on these observations and accommodations, would you say, Jesse, that attitudes and perceptions are finally starting to shift? Is society more open and educated about the LGBTQ community?
Absolutely. I think, of course, it's always a struggle, and it's always a very slow process. But I see society finally kind of breaking through to that acceptance, and things are becoming a little bit more mainstream. These ideas aren't so taboo and scary things to even talk about and even touch on. So it's great to see this genuine progress and actual heartfelt progress going through. It's not just such a political move sometimes as it used to be in previous years that was the hot topic to talk about to get a vote. Think people actually want to have these human rights be at the forefront and a genuine thing. So that's great to see these progresses taking place.
Right. So tell us about the meaning behind this year's theme, Inside and Out. I love how it's threaded throughout the activities and in the Pride Guide. It's coming out in all of the different kinds of events that are happening.
Mm-hmm. This year we wanted to sort of touch base on a lot of health initiatives. Sometimes the health aspect gets sort of overlooked, and we wanted to touch base on sexual health, physical health, mental health, spiritual health. And so the idea between Inside and Out and our festival is to take what's on the inside and reflect on what you have on the inside and worry about the health on the inside, as well as take that to the out. How do we express ourselves? How do we see the people around us? How do we help those around us as well? So we've sort of incorporated this Inside and Out concept throughout our entire festival, through various events that are being hosted by the Regina Pride organization or various other organizations within the city. So it's great to see that sort of melting pot of this Inside and Out concept coming through.
Right. So we just had the official flag raising at the legislative building on Wednesday. On Monday, June 20th, will be the flag raising ceremony at City Hall. There's over 40 events happening around the city during Pride Week. So we're talking about events that are happening, an exploration of who we are inside and out and how that's connected. Can you talk about some of the other events that are happening during Pride Week?
Oh, for sure. It's such a wide variety, and that's one of our biggest things this year is we're trying to have variety, so there's always something for everyone to be able to get out to at least one event, hopefully more, of course, in addition to the parade. We have, like you mentioned, the flag raising on the Monday. We're doing a yoga day over the lunch period on Tuesday, free for everyone to come out to. We do have our awards gala taking place on the Wednesday of Pride Week, which is going to be to recognize the various leaders either within the LGBTQ community or our allies who have helped the community strengthen and grow. We have poetry nights. We have group panel discussions. I know there's a talk about GSAs in schools at some point during the week. A few parties, of course, got to have a little bit of fun. And then we do have our community fairs. There's a various different little meet and greets and coffee nights as well. So it's a huge variety of different events. And we end off the week with an official church service taking place on the Sunday, the 26th, which we encourage everyone to come out to, no matter your denomination.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just limited to adults. It's something for people of all ages.
Absolutely. That's the one thing is that it's not just a bunch of parties. We do have some 19 plus events, but the majority of the festival is all ages and free. We're doing a free movie viewing on Sunday the 20th, Sunday the 19th. And so that is a free movie for anyone to go to. It's a family-friendly movie. The parade is all ages. Basically, almost everything in the festival, with the exclusion of some of the evening events, tend to be all ages and free. So that's a big thing for us to make sure that we maintain throughout the entire festival.
Right. And what's the movie? Zootopia?
Zootopia, yeah. We're excited about that. It's going to be a good movie to be able to talk about equality and differences and sort of touch base on more of a younger level. So it'll be fun. And it's free.
Free is good.
Yeah.
And that's held at the Rainbow...
At the Rainbow Cinemas on the 19th.
Okay.
On the 19th.
Yeah. Now, there's one particular event that I want to talk to you about. It has to do with blood donation.
Mm-hmm.
This is Canada has a 5-year deferral policy in place for MSN donors. And for those who don't know what MSM stands for, it's for men who have sex with other men. Can you tell us about the first ever ally blood donation clinic on Friday, June 24th, and
for sure
why it's such an important event for the festival?
This is a big thing for us, and Canadian Blood Services is very excited about it, too. We have seen numerous other allied blood donation clinics take place around Canada. They had one in Winnipeg and in Toronto and Vancouver, and I think London, Ontario did one as well. This has never reached Saskatchewan, and Saskatchewan does have the tendency to be a little bit behind the times when it comes to some of these sort of matters, as the numbers and facts and employees of these organizations will speak on. So this is a big thing for Saskatchewan to have this and to be able to open up this dialogue. The MSM policy basically prohibits anyone, any man who has had sex with another man within the last 5 years. And that doesn't have to be an ongoing thing. It could have been a one-off thing, a university experience. All of a sudden you are now have a 5-year deferral. You cannot donate blood because of some of these ancient discriminatory concepts about HIV and AIDS in blood and lack of testing, and the fact that, or the idea that that gay men are infected and are unclean. So our Ally Blood Donation Clinic, taking place on Friday the 24th, is a way for us to be able to talk to some of our allies, gain that support, get the knowledge out there. A lot of people don't know that this deferral policy is even in place. It's a very discriminatory policy and a very controversial policy that they are making progress to try and slim that down to a year deferral and then eventually get it down to completely not being a thing anymore. But it is this process, and we want to be able to show our support and show that we want to get out there and support Canadian Blood Services and get out and donate and save lives, because right now a lot of men, even people who have been in long-term monogamous relationships, cannot donate blood, even though they might get tested regularly. They have been in a relationship for 20 plus years. They cannot donate blood because of these policies. This is going to be a way for us to sort of get the word out there, encourage people to get involved and learn about the policies and fight back a little bit positively by also helping out with donating blood.
Mm-hmm. That is an incredible, first of all, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
This is a real departure and incredible policy that is in place. I'm sitting here just shaking my head about the entire thing.
Jessica, can I just back way up here
for sure.
A little bit? You were talking briefly about GSAs, and I think there are a bunch of people that may not know what a GSA is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Gay-straight alliances, mm-hmm. typically in schools. So it's a way for teachers and students to be able to get involved with each other and open up these concepts between the LGBTQ community and straight allies, and have that support in the school system or sometimes in work situations. They tend to be GSAs in various different situations. Most often we see them quite often in schools, to be able to have that early support system when people are mm-hmm. starting to come out of the closet or transition or whatever they might be going through at that time.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you find any pushback in sort of faith-based school systems or situations.
We haven't come across any specific situation, at least in Regina, or I'm pretty sure nothing's really come up in Saskatchewan that people have outright said no. But it does tend to be a bit of a dodgy issue for a lot of these students to even bring up the idea to their school systems and have that courage to come out and say, hey, this is what I need in my school. Mm-hmm. And what we hope will eventually come forward is that the schools themselves will take the initiative to set up these GSAs on their own mm-hmm. and encourage students to be a part of it and have it come more from the adult level who are in place there to nurture these children, as opposed to forcing these kids to get that bravery to even come forward to these higher powers to ask for something. So mm-hmm. so that'll be a near future wish, I guess, for us to be able to have that in place.
Yeah, being an older person, this sort of thing is like, when I think back to when I was in high school, we don't need that, you know. But of course, back when I was in high school, there was literally no awareness whatsoever.
That's the thing. There's a lot of progress, and I think you have that line between being overly sensitive and then being undersensitive. And so I think it's great to be able to have at least these options in place and give these students an option to be able to have a safe space mm-hmm. and figure out who their supportive peers are and have that support in the system. There's a lot of people when they're going through puberty, this is the time where they're going to start having these emotions and end up coming out mm-hmm. and transitioning either sexually or gender transitioning as well. And so this is sort of essential to be able to have that option in place, especially in the high school more than anything, when people are figuring out relationships and stuff mm-hmm. like that. We are seeing a few things popping up across the country with GSAs in elementary schools too, which is great to have that education starting at a bit of an earlier age, saying, you know what, you might grow up and you might be attracted to a different gender, you might be attracted to the exact same gender, you might be feeling, you might be saying, you know, you're a girl, but you might be feeling, you know, you might be a boy. So it's great to have that education in there and get people thinking about that this is okay, there's nothing wrong with you mm-hmm. So it's great to see that sort of eventually getting into place.
Right, it's like you say, it's touchy territory. It's mm-hmm. People, they don't even want to talk about it really in some quarters.
It's still a bit of a taboo subject, and what we're hoping is obviously through the various different organizations around Canada and in Regina and with the Pride festivals, these movements sort of push forward and have this call out and challenge to society to really push forward and have these options out there mm-hmm. and don't make it such a taboo subject.
Right.
This is a part of real life. Yeah. This isn't a made-up concept or something that we're trying or something that's just you keep right. under the table. This is a part of life. It's mainstream, and it's time to acknowledge and accept that.
Yeah. Well, when you think about it, when you start reading the literature, you'll find that there are some quite young children that at a fairly early age realize that there's something wrong with, not wrong, but different about the way they're identifying themselves. And just imagine if, say, from age 6 to adulthood, you're kind of fighting that, you know, where you're afraid to come out and say something or discuss it or anything. That's a very long time to not have any support and no understanding of what your situation is.
Well, that's even something, I mean, I look back at my own journey. I was born in 91. I'm still pretty young. Even from that point in the 90s, that idea was not even taken into fact in, say, health programs or health education in schools. That's something that was never touched on. And I look back on thinking, well, how was I thinking? Who was I being attracted to even at a younger age? What was my mentality at that point? And I look back and I see the signals of like, oh yeah, well, that's obvious. Yeah, I'm, mm-hmm. I'm not straight. but it was something that wasn't so talked about, and you grow up thinking, what's wrong with me? And you, that education isn't there, and you don't know who to turn to because no one's talking about it. So you just grow up thinking that there's mm-hmm. something different about you, and sometimes you feel like there's something wrong with you because mm-hmm. it's not talked about.
And no one should feel that there's something wrong with you.
Of course. And so being able to have that present from an early age, mm-hmm. The education needs to be there so you know that there is nothing wrong with you. This might just be the way that your life is going to go on its journey. It's just a different route. It's not not common, so to speak, on average. But it is an option, and it is a way that your life may end up going. So it's good to have that development start to get into place, and we definitely want to call out to everyone involved in, say, healthcare or education, the schools, mm-hmm. to be able to take that initiative and get something set up in place so that these kids feel like there's nothing wrong with them, and it's just they're going on a different path in life.
Right. That brings me to a story about awareness, and this, to me, this was both heartbreaking and inspiring. it's a lovely story that I read actually on your Facebook page. And back on May 11th, the Moose Jaw contingent, the Pride people, they had driven 4 hours to Estevan, and you're probably going to know what this is about, Jesse, to an event called Coloring in the Community with Andrew Meredith Art. And they had met 12 people who didn't realize that there were other queer people in the community. And these are the kinds of moments that join people together, that create community, and that help people find each other when they think that they're alone in the world. And if it weren't for these kinds of events and these kinds of you know, festivities that go on and people reaching out to each other, people would not find their own people. So to me, I thought, you know, we need to have more of these things. People don't know that their people are out in the world.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we feel alone and we feel lost. Mm-hmm. And it's these kind of these movements and celebrations and activities that are able to let us get out there and meet other people and tell our stories and learn their stories and let people know that they're not alone, and they don't feel so separated from the rest of society, because, I mean, we're all just one giant happy family, or at least we should be. So,
well, that's the ultimate goal.
The ultimate goal, exactly.
In a perfect world.
We'll get there.
Eventually.
Yeah.
And I think with
world
these,
peace.
That's right. With these kinds of celebrations and these kinds, you know, with the Pride Festival, you know, this is kind of... this is where we're heading, we hope, anyway.
Of course.
You know, maybe not in our lifetime. We're working towards
maybe
it.
Maybe my grandkids, yeah. We'll get there.
That's right. So, how are we doing for time?
I've got 5 minutes.
We've got 5 minutes
before
now.
The bottom of the hour.
Okay. So, maybe we could talk about... let's start talking about the Pride Parade.
For sure.
Because that's fun. And
that's,
it's a real highlight
fun.
Of the festival. And most people love a parade. So can you tell us the details about the parade?
For sure. Well, we start in the downtown core area. We basically travel all around the main downtown residential area. It will be televised live again on TV, and it will have it... be able to have it for sale as well. You can purchase from Access after the taping is done. But we are excited to have another big parade this year. Last year, I think we had something like 63 entries, which was massive. And this year, we're going to have even more. We've already talked to a few new people who are going to be looking at getting on board as an official entry. But the parade is free to be a part of or to attend or whatever you want to do, whether you want to walk in it. Or you want to stand by and be a spectator and watch it. It's fun either way. It's always a good time of year to be able to see the people along the sides of the streets waving and cheering and the positivity that we see. We do see a lot of positivity with the parade nowadays, which is something that I'm sure we take for granted from what it used to be. Back when sort of this Pride movement originally started, it was more of a march. It was more of a demonstration. It was a demanding for rights. And now we've transitioned into such of a celebration and a praising of our accomplishments, and still looking forward to where we have to go, but we want to be able to celebrate where we are and the rights that we do have right now. And so we do encourage everyone to come out on June 25th and either walk in the parade, grab a friend, grab a buddy, join up with another entry that might be in the parade that you might know, or just walk along with it and take part in it, or stand aside and cheer us on.
Who's the parade marshal?
The parade marshal is going to be Trans-Sask. So Saskatchewan's trans rights organization is going to be leading the parade this year, the whole organization. So we're very proud to have them at the forefront and lead with the rights for trans people in Saskatchewan and across Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. So it's great to have them up there.
Well, we've got a few minutes left in the half hour, but I just thought maybe I'd take this time to talk about another much anticipated event, which is CJTR's annual music garage sale. And that's going to be tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. This year's going to be at the Exchange. Usually it's here, you know, at the GMC building, but not this year. This year is going to be at the Exchange, and it's going to be a $2 admission charge, and you all have access to thousands of LPs and CDs, stereo equipment, musical instruments, and more at low prices. So we invite you to come and share your find your treasure, not share it. Well, you could share it, but you got to find it first. And we're going to have live DJ sets by CJTR volunteer radio hosts all day. We're going to have the Nacho Fiesta food truck on site. And for more information, you can check cjtr.ca. All money raised from the sale supports your nonprofit community radio station, 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina Community Radio. So there. Yes. Now, I think we'll just hit our break just a tad early. And we've got some music coming up after the break from Jeffrey Stryker. Did you pick this, Jesse?
Or I did,
you
yes.
You did? Okay, all right. So we're looking forward to it. And it's called Slings and Arrows, but we'll get that right after the break. Jeffrey Stryker and Slings and Arrows. So why did you pick that particular piece of music, Jesse?
I picked that because it tends to have a good message behind it about sort of growing from oppression, or growing from negativity and moving forward and strengthening oneself from that, taking the negative, turning it into a bad, taking a bad situation and growing from that. Mm-hmm. Plus, Jeffrey is a local musician,
yeah,
and it's always good to promote local and have them involved. So,
yeah, I saw him at the Big Tent last year,
yep.
I believe, and He puts on an excellent show. What a musician.
Absolutely.
He's
fabulous. He does a great job.
Yeah.
It's good to have him around and supporting Pride.
Mm-hmm. He does that in a very big way, and I know he's a big supporter of Camp Firefly.
Yes, yeah. He's been involved with them for a number of years, and so it's good to have that support on his behalf and have that creativity, that creative mind involved there and sort of growing people to get involved.
I know Camp Firefly sort of moves back and forth north and south, and I am not aware of where it is this year. Do you have any idea?
I'll be Saskatchewan or Regina this year.
Regina this year. Okay, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
And I know we have a bunch of volunteers who help out at Camp Firefly, and it is just an excellent it's an excellent program, basically involving kids.
Absolutely.
Who you know, it's a situation where they can be totally at home with being there with people who understand what's going on. And again, what we were talking about before, you know that you've got support, you've got friends, and a totally relaxed environment compared to, say, going to school and you're not too sure who your friends are.
For so those that don't know, do you want to explain what Camp Firefly is?
Sure. Camp Firefly is basically a camp for youth who are queer or questioning or transitioning, some spectrum within the LGBTQ community, youth to be able to get out there and have the support, have that summer camp experience with people that are more like them, where they don't feel so outcast, they don't feel so different, and a way for them to grow and have that initial peer support group and see the friends and family and adults, people older than them who are there to support them as well and help them to grow.
Mm-hmm. So now getting back to the parade. So people can still join up in the parade. I did see on the website that you can donate. There is no a registration fee, but there is a, you know, you can donate if you so choose, but it's not mandatory.
No, not mandatory. We Regina Pride is a nonprofit. The entire Queen City Pride Festival is run off of donations and sponsorships and volunteer work. So we do always accept donations. We're never going to turn away a kind donation. But if you want to register to be in the parade or walk along in the parade, it is completely free. And it's definitely still is open for registration. We take registrations sometimes right down to the wire, but we ask you to please register sooner than later,
right.
So we can organize it better and get your butts in the parade.
Right, the more the merrier.
Absolutely. I want this parade to keep getting bigger and bigger every year, and we do see it keep on getting bigger and bigger every year as more people want to get involved and they want to show their support and they want to take part and be a part of something. And this is a great way to get out there and be a part of something, whether you are standing along the streets, along the parade route, watching, or you're taking part in walking or rolling or skipping within the parade yourself. So
rolling as in rollerblades, not rolling along the
oh, well, it depends on what you were doing the night before. So. Some people might need to get pushed through the parade from the festivities from before. So we'll see.
So after the parade, there's out in Victoria Park. That starts at 1 o'clock, and that's immediately after the parade ends.
Yes, yeah.
So do you want to explain to us what Out in Victoria Park is all about and the festivities?
Yeah, Out in Victoria Park is our free festival that takes place right after the parade. So we do have a main stage with entertainment, mostly local talent. We have someone doing some powwow hoop dancing this year. We have some local singers. We have some dancers from Vancouver coming to visit us as well. It's a big group of different entertainers coming to perform. We do have a children's area. We'll have a dino bouncer and some other kids' games there, so you can definitely bring the little ones out there to entertain themselves and be a part of it as well.
There's a beer garden.
There is a beer garden,
so
yes.
The beer garden might end up
there might be some people.
There might be some people in the beer garden and the Dino Bouncer too. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that one. We'll take turns.
I
might end up in the Dino Bouncer as well. So we'll see. We'll see how busy I get. but we have obviously the beer gardens. It's going to be bigger than ever this year. We've increased by 50% the size of it. So it's going to be big. We have a barbecue as well, and we do have our vendor fair. So we're going to have a bunch of vendors either promoting their own organization or possibly selling some stuff as well at the vendor fair in Victoria Park as well. So make sure you bring a little bit of cash or a debit card or something like that, and take advantage of the vendor fair as well.
Fantastic. That's excellent. Yeah.
Back to the parade. I was just wondering if you could explain what the dress code is for the parade.
Comfortable. honestly, whatever. I always love to see big spectacles. If you want to show up covered in beads, please do it.
anything goes, really?
Anything goes, as long as you're decent or semi-decent. But you show up in whatever you are comfortable in. If you want to go out there and you want to douse yourself in glitter and make a big spectacle and have fun, do it. If you want to show up in sweatpants and a tank top and sunglasses and a hat and work on your hangover from the night before, then feel free to do that as well.
And then head
to the beer garden right after, of course.
Hair of the dog, right?
Yeah.
Well, personally,
honestly, yeah, show up in whatever you're comfortable with and whatever you want to do.
Be creative.
Yeah. Be you. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got my rainbow bow tie and suspenders that I'm going to sport. So watch for that.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. We'll be in the parade.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll see you there.
So, Pride After Dark.
Mm-hmm.
That is the big official Pride after party, and that happens on Saturday, June 25th at the German Club?
Yeah, at the German Club, yes.
So tell us about this. Who's the big... showstopper.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Pride organization always has to throw some sort of big party. Now, this will be obviously a 19-plus event. It's going to be more of a drinking-based dance party. But this is kind of our big nighttime celebration. We do all of our whole festival. We have our other 39 events throughout the entire year, or throughout the entire week, and we have our big free festival in the park. Now, in the evening, we want to have another big dance party. So, at the German Club on the 25th, we have Willem coming to us, who is a big international drag queen superstar, was on RuPaul's Drag Race on TV, on Out TV,
mm-hmm.
And we have her visiting us to do a full, I believe it's an hour performance, so we have a big performance from Willem, and I'm super excited. She has a bit of a potty mouth, so just a fair warning to that, but she's going to be lots of fun. She sings her own music, she does some dancing, she does a whole performance, so it's good to have that sort of international talent visiting us for Pride After Dark. We also do have a drag show opening up the night, so the drag show starts right at 9 o'clock, so get there before 9 o'clock for the drag show. Take part in that. Those are all mostly local drag queens, so we're going to be kicking off the night with the drag show. We have a local DJ performing right after that, and then it's Willem, and then we end off the night with DJ Casey Riot from Vancouver. So we have a full spectrum of entertainers from all across Western Canada coming mm-hmm. into Regina to perform and entertain for Pride After Dark on June 25th.
What's the cost? I'm just curious.
We do have our advanced pricing, and we have mm-hmm. Pricing for either if you're just going to the dance itself or if you're also going to the drag show.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets start at $15 in advance. We had a one night special at one of our launch parties for $10 in advance. Now we're doing $15 in advance to take part in Pride After Dark. $20 in advance if you also want to go to the drag show. So you can definitely get those tickets either in person. You can send us a message on Facebook or an email, or we do have online tickets available at queencitypride.ca. to be able to pick yours up and take part in the fun activities there.
Terrific. So, can we talk about the history of the Pride Festival and how Regina and Saskatchewan has evolved over the years? Now, you and I were talking about this a little bit, and how long has the Pride Festival in one form or another been going on in Saskatchewan or in Regina?
Mm-hmm. It's been going on for obviously much longer than it's been documented. There's been a lot of behind-the-scenes work. The first real documented Pride festival or activities, however you want to word it at that time and point, was in 1989. That was the first real documented group of activities in Regina, 27 years ago. We're now celebrating 27 years of Pride in Saskatchewan here in Regina. And things have been going on, obviously, much before that, and there has always been these movements and activities before that. But the first documented Pride movement was in 89, and it's great to see that longevity and people who were involved in organizing that first ever group of activities and took part in Regina's first ever march for rights are still taking part in this year's festival. We saw some of them out at the Saskatchewan flag raising on June 1st in front of the legislature. So it's great to see that support and acknowledge the people who were here before us, who put forward a lot of the human rights aspects to get us these rights and further along the Pride movement, still taking part and being involved. And you can actually see some of them in our Pride commercials,
which I was going to talk to you about. You've got three coming out, mm-hmm. and they'll be shown during the week of Pride Week, June 20th to the 26th. What are these commercials about, and can you tell us a little bit about the commercials?
We wanted to touch base on various different aspects. Like I mentioned with our Inside and Out theme, we want to focus on various different aspects of health. You have health, you have wellness, you have spirit, you have identity, things like these. And so our commercials, our three different commercials have the same concept, but do feature various different people within Regina's community. Local people, part of the LGBTQ community, and some of our allies as well, taking part in this commercial, being featured as people involved in either health or wellness, spirit and religion, identity, drag queens. These different forms of health are all going to be featured in there. So we do have them. We actually have one of the commercials being shown right now at the Rainbow Cinemas. If you go to any of the Rainbow Cinema movies, we are in the opening reel, so go and check that out. we're part of that so far, and then we're also going to be launching more, of course, throughout the week and on TV with some of our sponsor medias.
So I'd like to talk about Moose Jaw,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to be quite a significant event in that they'll be retracing the steps of the gay rights protests that happened in 1978. There was the Grand Marshal of the parade is Roger Carrier. Can you tell us about the protests that happened in 1978 and what led to it? I'm sure you know the history of that.
I know
well.
A little bit of that. It's a very tough time. A lot of it had to do with a lot of the discrimination there. We went through a whole thing with Stonewall in the States and this movement for rights wanting to come forward. And it was a very rough time for human rights. And these demonstrations started to grow and take place and come forward as a demand to gain these human rights. And we started seeing them pop up. And it's great to be able to see Moose Jaw recognizing these initial turning points in Saskatchewan's human rights, where people got up there and took a stand for who they were and had these demonstrations and led these marches to visibly show their presence and demand to be able to have these human rights. So it's really exciting for them to be able to have that that call out to the past.
This is their first ever parade,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be retracing the steps that they took. So they'll be starting on, let's see, what street is it? Main Street. Let's see, Main Street. I can't remember the other street that they're going to be on, but they'll be retracing those steps that the protest started on, and Main Street location, and it was Anita Bryant who came up from the United States, and she was on a tour, and she was on the Save the Children campaign, and there were over 150 people at this protest, and I think this is what started it all. And the other cities that she went to, she was protested there as well. And some of the unbelievable things that she was saying is that homosexuals should be placed in concentration camps. And so I think this was sort of also part of the whole reason for the protests. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's hard to believe, you know, the thoughts back then. But, you know, some of those thoughts, and we were talking about this, are still happening today.
Mm-hmm. It's a very scary thing to think that some people, even today, in as with as much advancements we've had right now with mentality and concept of the human life, and differences within people, that people still have this negativity and can have these thoughts that people should be put into concentration camps or just shouldn't exist or should change who they are. And it's saddening and scary, but still that goes to show you why we still need these pride celebrations and we still need these movements and these fights for human rights today.
Mm-hmm. A video of the protest is featured in the, it's a permanent exhibit at the Moose Jaw Museum and Art Gallery, and also a video can be found online. So if anybody's interested in seeing that, they can look it up online. It's very, very interesting. So if people want to get involved, mm-hmm. If they want to volunteer for the Pride Festival, who can they contact, and what volunteer positions are you looking for, mm-hmm. or...
We have a variety of different things that you can volunteer at. If you want to volunteer at any of our own activities that are going on throughout the Pride Week, we need help for the awards gala. We'll definitely need help out in Victoria Park after the parade. We will need help setting up and organizing the parade as well and guiding the floats. And we also need help at Pride After Dark. So there are different opportunities, no matter what your age, to be able to get involved and volunteer at. You can either give us an email, volunteer@queencitypride.ca. Find us on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Send us an email. Get in touch with us, and we'll be able to plug you into whatever best suits your interest. Mm-hmm. We have lots of different options for people to get out there and get a hands-on experience. We're a nonprofit. We don't have the ability to hire people. So the entire Pride Festival to this day has been run by volunteers putting in their time to get involved and make a difference and be a part of something. So we definitely rely on the volunteers to come out there and help us out. So definitely give us an email, send us a message on Facebook or Twitter or something, and get involved. We can put you into the right direction, put you into the right situation, and have some fun.
Can people still become vendors at the out in Victoria?
Absolutely. Everything is still open for registration. You can register for the community fair on the 18th. You can register for the marketplace vendors on the 25th. You can register for the parade still on the 25th. You can still register for the volunteers, and we do also still have nominations being accepted for the awards gala on the Wednesday the 22nd. So everything is still open. It's all on the website. It's all on Facebook. So there's a lot of places to get involved. Also, you can still register to be a part of the blood donation clinic. So everything is still open, and definitely get out there and get involved and help out and do something.
Now, you've got these amazing handbooks called Inside and Out, the Pride Festival Guide. They're the perfect size. They have absolutely everything in them that you could imagine. All the information, the lesbian, gay, and bisexual map of world laws, which is such amazing information. Where can people pick up these guides?
We do have them available at various different locations throughout the city. We have them available at Atlantis Coffee downtown. We have them available at Industrial Love on 8th. We have them available at Q Nightclub and Lounge on Broad Street. We have them available at Rouge Nightclub on 11th. So they're all over the place. I believe some are available at some other people's random jobs. They've decided to grab some. Oh, they have them available at Bread of Life Lutheran Church as well. So we have them all over the place. We do also have a PDF copy of it. So if you don't want to pick up a physical copy, I love the physical copy, but if you can't get your hands on one, we have the entire PDF version of it.
And you can enlarge that.
You can enlarge that one if you need to magnify that.
Like I was doing last night.
For some people's eyes, yeah, they are. You can get that online at queencitypride.ca and see the PDF and just pull it up on your phone or your iPad or your big screen TV, whatever need be.
So let's talk about sponsors. I think we have a couple of minutes left here. The concept of sponsors and controlling content. Let's have a quick discussion about that.
For sure. I know there's sometimes some mentality that sponsors get involved and the corporate has a total say of how the festival goes and sort of pulls away from the human rights aspect and you have these sponsors giving money and having control. But the fact of the matter is that the entire festival is run by the nonprofits and organizations, that want to submit these events. The sponsors are in place to show their often physical support, getting involved themselves, but also their financial support. And this is what helps us to be able to reach out. And as we talked earlier about reaching out to other communities and being able to be visible and people know that you exist and other people like them exist. And we've been able to put a lot of these dollars into marketing and getting out there and exposing, so to speak, the LGBTQ community and not staying behind the closet so much. And so the sponsors are there for us to be able to expand the festival, but still the content itself within the festival is all done by the volunteers and we have 100% of the say of what goes on in the festival, and that helps to bring it more to a human concept and not such a business concept of the festival. So it's great to have people involved who genuinely want to get involved and expand the content and keep that focused, which is great.
So you're saying that sponsors want to be, because they're contributing, they want to have some control and some say in the way the organization is run, or?
Sometimes they do. None of the Queen City Pride sponsors have any control or will have any control over either how the organization is run or how the festival is run. The only thing that they have basically control over is the size and the look of their logo in our guidebook. They help us out a lot with getting the word out there, especially say with our media sponsors. It helps us to get the word out there and get the festival into people's minds and into their hands. But they will never have control over how the organization is run or how the festival, what goes into the festival.
Right. So. And that's the way it should be.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I was just quickly looking at the Moose Jaw Pride Parade. That's why you heard that little bit of audio. I inadvertently hit a video and my audio was up and stuff. Anyway, just for those of you who would like to go to a Pride Parade tomorrow, right, in Moose Jaw, it's going to happen at 2 in the afternoon, and it's going to start from the 0 block Manitoba Street East, west to Main Street, north on Main Street to Athabasca Street East, east on Athabasca Street East to the entrance to Crescent Park by 2nd Avenue Northeast. So it's going to start at 2, it's going to end at 3, so why not go to that? You know, get 2 Pride Parades.
Yeah, thanks, Jim, for that. Those are good directions.
There you go.
I'm a visual, so I'm going to have to look that up.
Anyway, it's there. Like I say, it took me a while to find it. But
we heard it, though.
Yeah. So that leaves us a couple of minutes here. And I'd just like to once again mention CJTR's annual music garage sale, which is always a big deal. And it's always a good idea to go there early, by the way, because, of course, we have people lined up, generally speaking, you know, before the doors open. And it's okay, so the doors open at 9, just so you know.
Do people buy vinyl?
People do buy vinyl. They're in there. Yeah. And
it's big again.
Vinyl is big again. They're making it again.
Yes.
And there are some treasures there. There are There are some records there that are in demand, actually.
I kept all of my records from when I was younger.
Wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like the Beatles.
And those some of them a lot of money now.
Yeah, exactly. Some of them are really worth some serious money. And sometimes we even get records that have not been opened.
Wow.
You know, it doesn't happen very often. It's certainly not always the case, but we do get the odd one.
K-Tel?
No. Although, I don't know, we may have some K-Tel there. But anyway, just to remind you, it's at the Exchange this year. It's not here at the GMC building. It's a $2 admission charge, and we got lots of LPs and CDs and stereo equipment and musical instruments and other interesting and oddball things. And we're going to have some entertainment there, live DJ sets by CJTR volunteer radio hosts all day. We got the Nacho Fiesta food truck that will be on site, and you can check all this out at cjtr.ca. And, of course, all money raised from the sale supports your nonprofit community radio station, 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina Community Radio. And I'd like to thank you, Jesse, for coming and guesting with us on Human Rights Radio.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you for having me.
And as we close this week's Human Rights Radio and CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. Pioneering human rights campaigner Peter Benenson said, "Only when the last prisoner of conscience has been freed, the last torture chamber has been closed, the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a reality for the world's people, will our work be done."